Psalm 115 adds to this, these hymns of praise as they journey to Jerusalem. The psalm begins, "Not to us, O God, not to us, but to your name give glory, because of your covenant love, because of your faithfulness. Why do nations say, 'Where is their God?' Our God is in the heavens and answers to no one." And we might compare some material in other psalms. "My tears," says the psalmist, "have been my food by day and by night, as they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" It's the question asked in this psalm. Where is your God? That was Psalm 42. And why should the nation say, "Where is their God?" That's Psalm 79. So it's a constantly recurring motif in the psalms, because often the people are in exile and their neighbours are saying, because they know where their God is, it's a statue somewhere, but the Hebrews don't have a picture of God. They have a sense of the presence. Verses 4 to 8 is a polemic against idols from the period of the exile in Babylon. Before the exile, there was an attempt to educate the people away from having idols because of the danger of falling back into an identification of God with an idol. You might remember the scene of the golden calf in Exodus 32 and the idols in Bethel in the first book of Kings. So the verses read, yes, people are saying to them, "Where's your God?" But their gods, says the psalmist, they're crafted by hand, mere silver and gold. They have mouths, but they don't speak. They have eyes, yes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk. No sound comes forth from their hollow throats. Those who make these idols are like them, as are all who trust in them. During the exile, it appeared that Marduk, the god of Babylon, had defeated Israel's god, because the army had won, the city had been leveled, the temple had been destroyed. So it could appear that the god of the Babylonians was more powerful than the god of the Jews. Furthermore, they could only point to a destroyed sanctuary when asked, "Where is your God?" Their response was, "Our God is in the heavens and answers to no one." This psalm belongs with parts of the Isaiah scroll in mocking the popular Babylonian idol worship. You might like to look up Isaiah chapter 44 and again in 46. In verses 9 to 11 of Psalm, the psalmist appeals to the people of Israel assembled in prayer. Then he appeals to the priests and then to all who look to God in reverence. He appeals to them to place their trust in God. The text reads, "Israel, trust in God," that is in Yahweh, "your strength and your shield. House of Aaron, trust in God, your strength and your shield. All who fear God, trust in God, your strength, and your shield. Always mindful of us, God will bless us all, the house of Israel, the house of Aaron, all who fear God, both small and great. May God bless you more and more, you and your children. May you be truly blessed by the Maker of heaven and earth. The heavens belong to God, who has entrusted the earth to you. The dead go down into silence. They don't praise God, but we, the living, bless God now and forever. Praise God. Alleluia. The psalmist is praying for God's blessing. As we pray this psalm, Psalm 115, with Jesus, we recall his words in the parable about the ultimate judgment, where the king, the risen and exalted Jesus, says to those who've cared for people in need, who've been instruments, in other words, of God's action in the world, he says to them, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father." Jesus doesn't share the psalmist's understanding that, to quote the psalm, the dead do not praise God. Jesus doesn't agree with that. When the Sadducees tried to make fun of the idea of life after death, Jesus responded, I'm quoting from Mark chapter 12, "You are wrong. You know neither the scriptures nor the power of God." He goes on to remind them of God's appearance to Moses in the burning bush when God declared, "I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Jesus adds, "He's the God not of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong."